Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I am your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and today we are going to continue with the teaching we've been talking about, seeing your household saved, how to pray for your loved ones. In the introduction, we talked about our concern for our husbands, our wives, children, parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, close friends who are likely to be very close to us and who are our family members. And for the previous teachings, you can go back, but we talked about how to pray. What are the principles in Scripture regarding household salvation, the principle of the authority that you have, and the role of a warrior over your family and over your household. So we're going to continue on today talking about these particular aspects of how we present God to man, how we present man to God, and proclaiming the excellencies, our spiritual sacrifices, being the priest of our loved ones and families. But we're going to go into section number 4 on this particular topic. And for detail and in-depth teaching, you can listen to the previous broadcast. So we see here in the scripture, and we're on point number 4, pertaining to our role as priests. And 1 Peter 2:5-9 talks about 5 and 9, talks about the spiritual responsibility, the spiritual right and authority and boldness. But again, those are details we've discussed in previous programming. So let's look at the firstborn. So many studies out there about how many people, or if you're firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, how many people in your family, where do you line up? But what we're going to do today is we are going to specifically look at and talk about what it says in the scripture about the firstborn. So let's see. Let's turn our Bible and let's look at Exodus. And we will look at the 13th chapter. And let's start at verse number 2. So that's Exodus 13 and verse number 2. Exodus chapter 13. And if I'm reading IV and IV, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether it is human or it's an animal. So we think about, in the natural, just think about everyone you know as a firstborn. There's always seemed to be so much responsibility on the firstborn. Yeah, I was just talking with someone, and they were saying they were the older child, and their mother, I think, had 11 children. So being the firstborn, they had a lot of responsibility. And we can even go into the teaching of the firstborn and our first fruits. But it should all be everything, you know, it's always dedicated to the Lord and given to the Lord, even with our first fruit offering that we get the beginning of the year. We're supposed to give our first fruit, our first paycheck, our first fruit that we may get of something in the natural, or whatever it is, you're supposed to sow that seed. So in here we see, he said, consecrate them. But what do we see here? What does consecration mean? Or that it means to be separated, that separation, set apart unto God. So here we're talking about the priesthood of the firstborn. And so we know that there is something to that. The firstborn has a lot of responsibility sometimes to play. Oh, there's a lot of favoritism. Or they become almost like the senior matriarch or patriarch of the family in some cases, because they're the firstborn. Sometimes they're very protected. The mother is her first time, and father having that child, and then after the last one, you know, they just pretty much just have their way in life, and they're not so protective. I was talking to someone just the other day, and this was the person firstborn, and they wanted every little detail maintained and done to the child. They didn't want to leave the child alone. It had to be secluded. The child was even secluded. And just really, really protected, not alone to get in the floor and walk around. And the baby's a little older, I think 9 months, and hasn't started crawl. So sometimes you can have a little over protected, but a lot of times that firstborn is set apart. And then the baby, they always say the last child is the one that is sometimes closest to the family, because that particular child may be the last one in the nest, so to speak, and pretty much is baby by its siblings. In some cases, it's sibling rivalry, but a lot of times the baby of the family is actually given a lot of attention to, but the firstborn. In Numbers 8, now let's look at Numbers 8, and let's start at verse number 14. Let's see, there it goes. There's 12, 13. It says, in this way, verse 14, you are to set the Levites apart from the Israelites, and the Levites will be mine. Let's read on down to 18. And after you have purified the Levites and present them as a wave offering, they are to come to do their work at the tent of meeting. They are the Israelites who are to be given wholly to me. I have taken them as my own in place of what? We see that word again. In place of the firstborn, the first male or offspring from every Israelite woman. So we see that again. Now let's look at the next sentence. Every firstborn male in Israel, here we see it again, whether human or animal, is mine. When I struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, I set them apart for myself. And I have taken the Levites in place of the firstborn son of Israel. So here we see it again. So the firstborn and the priesthood is a very significant person, a very significant principle here that we see that the Lord is bringing
bringing out here in the scriptures. And I want us to look at Numbers 3, and we will look at 11 and let's look at 11 and 12. The Lord said to Moses, I have taken the Levites from among the Israelites in place of what? The first male offspring of every Israelite woman, and the Levites are mine, for all firstborns are mine. And he says again, when I struck down all the firstborns in Egypt, I set apart for myself every firstborn to Israel, whether human or animal, they are mine, says the Lord. So we are going to look at the significance of Reuben. What was he? A lot of times, as we specified earlier, the firstborn has a greater responsibility. And sometimes they seem like when they grow up, they're more of the old soul. I even know a family member that their mother, as I said, had, I think, 11, 12 children, and the youngest baby called her mama, too. Because when mama was out to work, the oldest sister was more of the mother, was a more of the mother role because she is the oldest. And a lot of males, if the dad is not there and they're the firstborn or the oldest, they take on a lot of responsibility as well. Now, in Genesis 37, 21, it points out when Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. He says, let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him. Because Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to the father. So Reuben, the firstborn, he had a greater burden of concern for what other family member. So he didn't want to Joseph thrown in the cistern. And so sometimes, you know, he was like the babies or those that are younger, I think we want to throw them in the cistern, you know. Sometimes if you have brothers or sisters, they seem like they're always, they may be picking on you. But the older one, again, it's more, has a greater a responsibility. So let's look down. Let's go down a little further and look at 37 chapter. So we just read 21. Now let's skip down to verse 29. And it says, when Reuben returned to the cistern, so he went back. And he saw that Joseph wasn't there, and he's like, oh, my goodness, I'm the oldest, I'm the mature one, I'm the firstborn, I've got all this responsibility, my brothers are at the top, what are they doing? He said, but so he tore his clothes, and he went back to his brothers and said, the boy isn't there. Where can I turn now? So he's feeling the weight, the responsibility. He's feeling that concern. And so he's like, well, you know, where can I turn now? So we see here that in the family members, a lot of times being the firstborn, and if you're a firstborn out there or if you're an only child, you might think, wow, I've got the responsibility to do a lot of things. If I'm the firstborn, you know, there's a lot of concern for the family and for the family members, and especially those who may be younger. Their parents were younger when they had them. A lot of times, you know, they may grow up together. I was looking at a family; they had their child at 18. And the child was 36, and they were still growing, like they were still growing together. from that firstborn, I think they were kind of helping one another out, so to speak. I know one of the girls, when I went to school, she was 13 years old when she had her baby. So when her child was 21, they were running around again. They were like, you know, like kids. She was about 13 years old. She, you know, they were both children, but, you know, that first, going back to that firstborn and the responsibility that is there. Now, if we look at, let's see, Genesis 38, and let's look at verse 7, and it says, Judah got a wife from Ur, his firstborn, and her name was, and we know this story, Tamar. So Ur was Judah's firstborn, and he was in the Lord's sight. Oh, this is horrible, but the Lord, what did we know? He put him to death. He took his life. But then let's look at another firstborn. Well, we're talking about the double portion principle that was given to the family member. Sometimes the firstborn has more responsibility, the finances, spiritual responsibility, the grace, double portion of the Holy Spirit. Now, who could we possibly be talking about? Let's take a look and see. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. You're listening to Lifestyle for Lifetime Holiness. We are continuing our year and a half long series on prayer. And we have been doing an extensive study on seeing your family member saved. Today we're talking specifically about the firstborn. So, we see in the scripture the double portion principle given to the firstborn to care for what? The family. So, this is it's biblical. For some of you firstborns out there, like, oh my goodness, I had to do everything. I had to wash the dishes. I had to pull the y'all on. You know, I had to wash the clothes. I had to work. I had to help with the bills. So there may be a lot of responsibility that you feel like that you have had, you know, on your shoulders. But in Deuteronomy 21, and let's look at verse number 17. If someone is found slain, lying in the field, in the land of the Lord, your God is giving you to possess, and it is not known who the killer was, your elders, judges, shall go out and measure the distance from the body to the neighboring town. And we are needing to now, I apologize, to verse number, let's look at Deuteronomy 21, and we are going to look at verse number 17. Okay, now we're on track. Say, he must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double share of all that he has. That son is the first sign of what? Wow, the father's. Have you ever seen, or how did you feel as a man who receives a child into the world and they raise it up and give it to that child and dedicate it to God, their firstborn? It's like strength. Wow. It gives strength to the man. And it acknowledges his manhood, that through his man that he could birth and give life. So he acknowledged his son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double share of all he has. That son is the first sign of the father's strength.
the right of the firstborn belongs to him. So you have the firstborn here being acknowledged, you know, as the strength. Look at another scripture that just verifies this. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elijah replied. So here, the double portion principle is given to the firstborn to care for the family. We saw in Deuteronomy 21 and 17 where there was a strength. Here, the 2 Kings 2 and 9. So here's that Elijah's given that double portion of the Holy Spirit. We're thinking about the impartation of the legacy that God has for you as a firstborn child to carry on that legacy, to carry on that impartation of what God has given to you through your family members. So even in 2 Kings 2:9, it's of the finances. We're talking about the spiritual responsibility. We're talking about the grace, the ability that you have, that double portion of the Holy Spirit. So the next point I want to make, God, he shows you your spiritual responsibility. He shows you your authority to stand in the gap for who? Your brothers. To stand in the gap for who? Your sisters. To stand in the gap for your parents. And he will work in your life by using that, what? Firstborn role. So we are talking about the priesthood of the firstborn. How to win our family members to the Lord through prayer. And we know that everything that we do is through the blood of Jesus. And, you know, there's power even in the firstborn with the covenant that is given to the firstborn. It seems like with the firstborn, there's that special calling. There's that covenant. Just as we looked at Reuben, he's like, "Oh, it's my dad. My dad, he will be so upset if we don't bring Joseph back. Come on, brothers. I've got to carry this burden. I have to carry this responsibility." There's a covenant there. Priesthood of friendship. So let's turn over to Job, and let's start at chapter 42, verse 8. And so now, take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. We're going to read to 10. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Now, after Job had prayed, we're talking about what here? Covenant. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortune and gave him twice as much as he had before. So there's even in this, and we're on step number 5. We're gonna we're talking about there's a priesthood of the friendship, having covenant with your brothers and sisters in the natural, as well as those that are in the spiritual. So you have to prepare for priestly intercession. And as we go and talk next week, we will get into more
detail on this particular subject. So we pray right now in the name of Jesus, if you are the firstborn, we pray that you are set apart, that you have been set apart as the firstborn. And we just decree and declare the burden, so to speak, or the concerns of your family members, that you will be able to carry that. And if you're not a firstborn, we're praying about how do we pray for our family. Begin to pray for the firstborn of your family. Receive the double portion that God has given to you through your family members, and that your parents have given to you as they have relied upon you. Sometimes it's the financial, it's the spiritual, it's God's grace. But remember, God has a double portion of his anointing for you today, and God is saying for you to receive it, to walk in the spiritual responsibility and the authority, to stand in the gap for your brothers, your sisters, and your parents, because he has started a work in your life using you in the role of the firstborn. God bless you. Until next time, please visit our website at lifeenrichmentinc.com. We would love to invite you out to the Holy Spirit Conference in Orlando, Florida. We are expecting signs, wonders, and miracles. Next week, we will talk about point five, the priesthood of friendship, as well as preparing for priestly intercession and the hindrances that may be hindering you. How to dedicate yourself as a living sacrifice, how to pray in faith in the confidence and boldness for household salvation. And if we continue next week, we see how the Holy Spirit leads, we will talk about exercising spiritual warfare for our families as being the warrior priest. We still have several other areas to talk about, but God bless you. We say success to you, success to the kingdom of God, and go forth in Jesus' name, because what we do for Christ while we're here on earth is about kingdom business. God bless for now. Bye-bye.